The reading's from first book of Samuel, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, may it be ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Julia. Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. I know some of you are thinking, how long in the year is it before you can't say? But in some parts of God's church, it's only the 7th of January today, but we'll come back to that later. Now, I don't want to correct a member of the clergy. Actually, I do. It's a good excuse. But Andrew said earlier I would be leading the learning. Well, yeah, I do that in classroom when I'm getting excited about the strange stability of benzene, which you've all done chemistry, so you've all, yeah, good. If not, ask me later, I'll bore you. No. But I would hope, I think it's been evident here tonight, that through other people, through worship, through the Holy Spirit, God's leading our learning. God's going with us on that journey and leading us and transforming us and taking us further on that adventure of being more like Jesus. And I know you didn't mean the opposite of that, Andrew, but I just thought I'd have a chance, you know. So here's a question for you. Are you a good listener? You know, I bet myself 50 pence who would say that first. And now I owe myself 50 pence. I don't mean, are you a good listener, because, boy, you're going to be here for another hour listening to me. No, I don't mean that. And who should I really ask if you're a good listener? Would your self-assessment not be the same as maybe your husband or wife or children or parents, whoever else I asked? How good are you at listening to God? You can answer that in your heads. You don't have to turn to your neighbour and confess. But I think tonight I just want to look at Samuel and how we're similar or different and might be more like him. So before I go any further, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for things that we can learn from your people, from Samuel tonight. Will you take my words and take what you would have for each individual here deep into their ears and, more importantly, deep into their heart, so that it makes a difference for each one of us as we grow to be more like you on a discipleship journey and as we share the good news of you, Lord Jesus, with others. For we offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Samuel's a good example to follow when it comes to listening to God. But also we can say, well, within the 21st century, how does the Lord speak to us today? How does the Lord call us? How do we know if it's God calling? And for those who are regular at the Sunday evening, you'll know that before Christmas, it seems so long ago, doesn't it? Before Christmas, we were doing an Old Testament series, and we were talking, working our way through, and we got to the end of the Judges. And now we're into the book of Samuel. Here's a spoiler alert. We're going further on with the book of Samuel next Sunday. But there's a phrase, I typed it out, that keeps recurring in the book of Judges. In the time of the Judges, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. There was a repeating cycle, and many of you remember different examples of the repeating cycle of great sin, low spirituality, people pleasing themselves, spiritual neglect, neglect of God. I wonder if that's true today. I don't mean here in this building, but in the world as we know it, there are areas of the world that are very close to God, I would suggest, and areas that are far apart. Sometimes there are areas of the church that are closer than others to God. I think last week, he might nod if I say, Patrick, did you mention Josephus, the Roman historian, last week? Yes. Well, he wrote about Samuel, and he suggests that Samuel was 12 when this, what we read tonight, or Julie read for us tonight, happened. Samuel's a future leader of the faith community. God needed Samuel to listen. God's people generally weren't that interested in listening. And when they stopped listening to the Lord, they missed things. They missed good news for them, and they missed correction about things they were doing wrong. They missed all that God had for them. They missed the relationship that God longed to have with them, a relationship of faith and mercy and forgiveness, a relationship that brings God's blessing. It says in tonight's text, the word of God was rare. And it's not because God didn't want to speak to his people, surely. It's because people didn't want to listen. Either they didn't have the time or the energy, or they didn't want to hear what they thought they might not want to hear. Because it says in the time of the judges, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Maybe it's like us, in a secular way, tuning in the radio and finding out we're on the wrong station. And we don't continue searching for what we want. I'm not suggesting classic FM is the equivalent of God or whatever you listen to. But we tune in, we don't quite get the message we want. We tune out, we carry on listening because we can't be bothered, we turn the radio off. But we cut off the message. I was interested in the confession tonight. We used phrases such as, help us to be generous in our listening. We called on God to open our ears. I think what this passage does is makes that message as well. So in the first few verses of tonight's reading, the Lord keeps calling, and some listen, and in tonight's reading, Samuel and Eli are tuned in. Not always immediately, but they're tuned in. At first, we see that Samuel could hear, but he wasn't really listening. He needed the help of Eli, the old man, to tune into God. Of course, he didn't have a nicely bound 66-book Bible. Very little of even the Old Testament existed at that point, even if it did in written form. So the primary way that God spoke to his people was through visions, in the widest sense of visions. Often in the Old Testament, prophets would receive visions. Thus says the Lord. And they would proclaim God's message to the people. They couldn't pop down the local library and take out a Bible or have one of their own. And I think Rob mentioned this two Sundays ago in the morning in Proverbs 29. It's quite a common verse that's used. Where there is no revelation, where there is no hearing from God, people cast off restraint. People go in any old direction, take their eyes off the ball and do what they like. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So the Lord calls Samuel when Samuel is asleep, and Samuel doesn't realize or recognize it's God. He thinks it's Eli. Samuel goes back to sleep. The Lord calls a second time and a third time, and Samuel still thinks it's Eli. I can just picture Samuel sort of waking up and thinking, that's the third time you've woken me up, Eli. Will you please stop doing that? But there's good news, because in verses 9 and 10, we make progress, or they make progress. Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling Samuel. So he says to Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls to you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel now is at sort of first base, if you like, because Samuel does what he's supposed to do and says, speak, for your servant is listening. So the word of God was rare in those times. It's not that rare amongst us now, but it's often difficult to listen to God now. Would you agree? It's often a challenge. It's very much a first world problem. We're so busy. There's so much noise going on. There are so many stations on the radio or Sky TV or what have you. There are so many things in our life that can get in the way of focusing on God, even for a small portion of the day. But if you ever noticed in a large social gathering, if someone calls you by name, there might be lots of hubbub going on as you're moving. Oh, sorry, I realise I was about to say eating the cheese and pineapple, which is very much a 70s thing, isn't it? But as you're moving around socialising and someone says, oh, Andrew, please can you just pop to the kitchen and refill the teapot? You hear that because it starts with your name. But you also, research has shown, hear it if somebody says, can you pop to the kitchen and refill the teapot, Andrew? Even though you didn't know what the first part of that was until your name, research has shown you recognise the sentence backwards, if you like, from your name. So it's quite easy in some ways to be called. It's not always easy, or we're not always successful in listening. And I would say that these days, just realised how many people might correct me, but anyway, anybody can hear from God. Doesn't mean they will be listening or they will recognise, but anybody can hear from God. It isn't something that depends on your age or your social status or your qualifications, how much money you've got, but it does depend. We can hear from God when we're prepared to hear, when we're really listening out, and then we can respond to God. Samuel did, right from that about 12 years of age. He was obedient. He responded promptly. He responded heartily. He was full on for it and carried on for the whole of his life. Samuel isn't always the book of the Bible that we're most familiar with. I'd encourage you during the week maybe to divert or add on to any reading plan you have. Look at Samuel, both to reflect on maybe what I've suggested tonight and also to prepare for next week, and because obviously it's good stuff anyway. I also noticed in verse 3, Samuel was sleeping near the Ark of the Covenant, the place, the thing that they carried around God's word in. He hung out at the local synagogue, if you like. So I think that has a message for us as well. I'm not suggesting we do what Eleanor did at Easter and all camp in the foyer because it's close to the building of God. What I'm suggesting is we hang out around places and people where the word of God is spoken. We stay close to the word of God and to people of the word of God, people proclaiming the word of God. We give ourselves more opportunity to hear. Samuel's ministry began with a call from God. Maybe yours did too. I was just sitting there thinking, how many people here tonight are actually doing something in this service that is a response to a call and is using one or more of the gifts that they have from God? It's a lot of people coming together to make tonight's service happen. Sometimes God gives us a big clarion call. You can't miss it. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. Sometimes it's two or many things connected together that convey a message. But we won't know unless we're listening. We have to put the radio on, if you like, if I use my previous analogy. We have to at least put the radio on and then make every effort to tune into the right station. We have to at least be open to hearing, to be called by God, and to tune into him. Now, this is a dangerous bit I'm going to say now. You know those thank you speeches you hear at weddings or Oscar ceremonies, and they name loads of people, and then somebody sits there thinking, oh, they didn't name me. Well, I'm going to give you some examples, but this is not an exhaustive list. But these are maybe things you could try this week to improve or to be able to hear, to listen from God. In prayer, prayer is listening as well as speaking, whether it's speaking out loud or in your heart if you're on your own. From the Word of God in the Bible is an obvious one. Through places where the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is being proclaimed. Another classic example of that was when we had, for the anniversary, the reading of the Bible. I was lucky that I wasn't at work. I was able to pop in on some occasions thinking, if I time it right, I'll get a free, easy listen to something I don't know particularly well. And I was guilty of thinking that might be easier than sitting at home and reading it. But actually, the activity of coming and hearing it meant it was the only thing I focused on when I got here, rather than, oh, I better go and do the washing up now. I've read three verses. But I'm slightly trivializing, but you see what I mean? It gave an opportunity to focus just on that. I'm not saying I'm super holy by having done it, but something that gives you the opportunity. You can hear from God from other people. Could be an individual, could be in a group. Many of you are in Roots or home groups might have done the Listening to God series less than a year ago. You might practice that quite regularly in your small groups. And it can be from what we might call everyday people right up to those who are superbly prophetically gifted by God. We can hear from God in miracles and other encounters, for events in our life, from spiritual gifts God gives us, from nature. And still today, from dreams. There's lots of stuff on the internet about Muslims in particular being made aware of Jesus coming to them in a dream. It's a bit controversial at times because some scholars say that sort of has a bit of conflict with scripture about hearing the word preached rather than a visit from Jesus. But personally, I think there is no limit to the way in which Jesus, to the way in which God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can call us, or we can hear from him. Now, I said at the start, it was the 7th of January. Those of you really into this will know that two Sundays ago, it was Epiphany. And if I ever said Epiphany to you, what does that mean? Again, I won't bet my 50p, because I lost it last time to myself, so I'll save it. But Epiphany in the church often means, oh, that was when the three wise men, or the magi, or however many they were, went and took their gifts to Jesus. If you look in the dictionary, a Christian festival commemorating the manifestation, come back to that word, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the persons of the Magi. It's the first evidence of the glory of Jesus as the human to the non-Jewish people. In the wider sense, Epiphany means a moment when you suddenly feel that you understand or suddenly become conscious of something that's very important to you. Maybe a powerful religious experience. At the end of Mark's Gospel, we've just been doing that in my Roots group. It's a really odd thing of debating Easter as we got to Christmas, but it's not odd because it's all good. But you know what I mean? At the foot of the cross, there's a revelation to a Gentile. In Mark 15:39, when the centurion who'd stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. There was a revelation, a manifestation. Some in the Orthodox Church, in the Eastern Church, where society didn't change its calendar by 11 days and people didn't possibly riot in the streets saying, give us back our 11 days, they're still at a different timescale. So today, I think, is the 7th of January. I used to work with someone whose wife was from the Eastern Europe, and he was a teacher, so he got Christmas off, and then he was allowed, for religious reasons, to have the 6th and 7th of January off. I confess some of us sat down and thought, if we keep changing religions during the year, how many bonus days can... But the calendar is different. And that means that in that wing of the church, the baptism of Jesus, which was last Sunday's celebration, is the central focus of Epiphany. Because Jesus' baptism is a second manifestation, which is from the Greek word epiphania, if I pronounced it right, where we get epiphany from, of glory. It foreshadows sacrifice and triumph of Jesus, the lamb and the lion. I'll just say, we need to watch out for a couple of pitfalls. Not every impact on our life, a call or apparent revelation, is good. It certainly isn't always of God. And watch out, I would say, in the spiritual realm, we all have to watch out of call that is from the enemy. We know the enemy loves to deceive us and plant a false call or guidance in our lives. Wrong-headed suggestions. If you want to do that well as a human, I'm not suggesting you try this tonight, but if you want to do that well as a human, forge a £20 note. As I say, I'm not saying go home and do that. It will only be successful if it's very close to the real thing. The enemy's lies can get very close to the real truth and deceive us, take us in the evil way. The second thing, of course, is it's easy to hear God's call and say no. Jonah did it. Jonah did it because he was called to go to Nineveh and he thought, they're not worthy of hearing from God. I'm getting on a boat and going in the other direction. It didn't work out like that, but that's for another time. Sometimes it isn't intentional. We're just not tuned in. Sometimes we're avoiding making the effort because we're afraid of what we might hear. And of course, finally, I'd say that however confident we think a call from God on our life is, I would dare to suggest that we need to discern its genuine nature and what it means for us. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but we might think about Scripture. The Holy Spirit is not going to contradict Scripture when God calls us. We need to think about experience and reason. If we're being told to do something that's outrageous, and maybe not even contrary to Scripture, we need to weigh that and ponder it. So we ask ourselves questions such as, does this call, or these calls together, chime with the Word of God? Are they supported by the Bible? Does it build, as opposed to conflict or divert? Does it build the kingdom of God? Does it point us further into the kingdom of God? Does it take us further on that journey of becoming more like Jesus? Does it exalt Jesus? Does it resound or agree with other messages? And of course, there are plenty of people as well you can meet, talk about, pray with. It could be in a roots group. It could be within a prayer partnership. It could be with another Christian, trusted, maybe elder, wise person to work that out. So that as well as hearing the call, we can respond to it correctly. At the end of tonight's passage, after all the bad news that Samuel's been given by God, and he's a bit afraid to offer them to Eli, Eli says, no, what is it that it said? He said to you, do not hide it from me. And in the working out at the end of chapter 3, we read, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he, the Lord, let none of his words fall to the ground. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. God blessed him, and God blessed him with faithfulness. So that's what we're called to do. Tune into God, listen to God. This week, why not make an extra effort? You might find that making that small step of one extra effort grows like the snowball, adds snow, and it builds into something more significant. The call of God. Maybe try reading and meditating on a piece of scripture. Maybe in your own prayer and quiet time with God, make sure you give time to say, God, what are you calling me to? Maybe do it with others in a roots or home group or prayer partners again. And do be prepared to seek out others to pray and talk about things. I was reminded of a song, as some of you will know, a song by James Kilbane called I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Looking over someone at least nodding. Someone nodding? And it echoes this message because its chorus goes, here am I, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. And we sang tonight, here I am, arms wide open. We talked about giving all to Jesus. So my prayer for us all, myself included, is this week in particular, we make that extra step of listening even more closely to God, listening to what he's calling us to next, and working with that as we go forward. So I pray that for us all as I finish tonight. Amen.